Hey y'all, it's Alante, and you're listening to Black and in Grad School, the podcast that helps women and people of color like you excel in this journey. If you're listening, I believe you are an aspiring or current scholar who wants to successfully navigate this process. By sharing my experience while pursuing my PhD and interviewing other Black graduate students or early career professionals, it is my hope that you can glean encouragement, advice, and strategies that you can apply to your journey. Thanks for listening. What's up, what's up, what's up? Back with another episode, per the usual. This week we are continuing our conversation with Fancy. And if you remember last week, we were talking about, you know, self-identification with your university or your company, entrepreneurship, just kind of creating your own personal company culture and your unique value proposition. And so this week we're going to kind of keep that conversation going on, talking about how you can be consistent and authentic with your personality, with your personal values in academia and beyond. I hope you enjoy the rest of this episode. Be different and sit differently at different ages. So what I want to ask next, right, is kind of touching on what you just said, this instant gratification, right? We have Instagram, we have Facebook. We want to kind of rise to the top immediately. And so I know something that people always want to know is how can they stand out, you know? How can they amplify their influence, their work, especially, again, you know, we're talking about grad students who, in our space, the thought leaders tend to be white and male and older. And so we have new work that we're producing and that we're wanting to contribute and improve society in some way and all these different fields that we work in. And how can we, you know, amplify our work, our voice, our influence as thought leader, as upcoming and becoming thought leaders?
I think that's a very good question. And, you know, in many industries, many industries are dominated by white males. So right. That is something that, you know, coincidentally, as part of the Fancified mission, I want to, you know, drive a much more diverse ecosystem mm-hmm. within tech. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I formalized this idea I had being and working at LinkedIn for the past, you know, 4.5 years. I realized how crucial it is for our employee base to reflect the you know, people that we serve. If our yeah. ecosystem isn't reflective, if our workforce isn't reflective of our ecosystem and the customers that we serve and you know, the people that we serve, then that is a huge missed opportunity, because yeah. that means that when it comes to the products and services that we offer, we're not going to be able to offer, you know, the best to accommodate, you know, or to provide maximum value to everyone, because we don't have the perspective of what those folks actually need. Mm-hmm. So I just want to highlight that. And I think for you all, especially students of color, I think that, you know, in standing out, what do you want to be known for?
Right.
You know, okay. What is it that you want to stand out for? Having clarity on that is going to help you identify the opportunities that will enable you to develop a presence, to develop a brand, to develop awareness and visibility in a meaningful way mm-hmm. within these environments, mm-hmm. because people will start to associate you with your value proposition. So in academia, for example, if, you know, you guys are wondering how you can be more proactive and in, you know, developing a identity and a voice, you have to speak, you know, like right. you all have a voice. We cannot expect people to listen if we are not speaking. We cannot expect change if we are not inciting change by provoking conversation around what the issues are and how we can potentially solve them.
Okay, so we got you. Got to just speak. Start speaking up, and first have a, it still goes back to like, what is your essence? Who are you? What is it you're trying to do? What do you want to be known for? And then,
what is your value proposition? Yeah. This is key. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What is your? So think about it like this, right? Like, you know, you McDonald's. McDonald's value proposition is meals on the go. Like,
right.
You can be in and out of McDonald's in like 5 minutes. You can have dinner for a family of four. You can pay, you know, a penny to the dollar,
mm-hmm.
and done, you know, dinner is done. So you're talking about culture of convenience and instant gratification, right?
Right.
I'm not recommending that people consume, you know, fake food, but that's another story.
right.
You know, that was just for example's sake. But the point I'm making is that, like, understanding your essence and your, and then defining and developing a unique value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to the mindset that you, each and every one of us, we have a unique fingerprint. I'm of the mindset that that unique fingerprint is indicative of my unique contributions to society.
Mm.
And my job here on this earth is to understand what it is that only Lisa Francormessa, aka Fancy Five, call me Fancy for short, can bring to the table, so that I am not only showing up in my, you know, in a genuine and authentic manner, because that's an inherent, those are inherent characteristics of
sure.
when you're clear on your unique value proposition,
mm-hmm.
but I'm able to speak to what I can do to enhance, what I can do to add value, what I can do to contribute in a meaningful and significant way. That is how I think that we start to really create a movement. And I've been at this shit, sorry, I've been at this stuff for, in earnest with Fancy Bite, I've been at this since 2011. What is it? 2019?
Yeah.
Almost 8 years I've been doing this. And there's real merit, Alante, to the, you know, to the philosophy that it takes 20 years to make an overnight success.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because you have to keep being consistent too.
Mm-hmm.
Consistent with what,
yeah,
with the messaging, with your, what you're doing. And that only comes from deciding what you're going to do to be consistent at, you know, what you're going to be consistent with.
Yeah, because here's the thing. We can't just, it's not a shotgun approach, right?
Exactly.
Like, you know, when you shoot a shotgun, the little pellets in the shotgun, they spray, you know, like
mm-hmm.
they spray everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we need to be able, and, you know, there might be some times where it's appropriate for a shotgun approach, but I think where we are in relation to what we're discussing right now, you need a sniper's precision,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know? Like, you
right.
have to be extremely, and I use the word prescriptive, because think about it. When you go to the doctor, you say, I have a sore throat, the doctor is going to prescribe, you know, a remedy. It might be antibiotics. It might be, you know, a sore throat, you know, spray, like a chloraseptic or what have you. But the point is that the doctor is prescribing the remedy.
Yeah.
And we need to be prescriptive with what our unique value proposition is. Because some people will say it like, what's your elevator pitch? No. This isn't about in 5 seconds, you know, tell me what you're trying to sell me type of thing. This is a much more grandiose concept. You know, I talk a lot about abstract concepts because I want for all of us to be thinking in a really high-minded way about what we came to this earth to do. Because I'm telling you, I mentioned it in the beginning of the conversation, purpose is the genesis of genius.
Mm.
So when you understand what your purpose is, aka your unique value proposition, from there, you're going to be able to have so much more confidence, so much more conviction when you're speaking to anyone and everyone.
Yeah.
And you'll start to see the more people recognize you for that, the more opportunities that will be attracted to you, the more opportunities you're going to be able to seek out. Again, thinking about it with a sniper's precision, if I know that, you know, I'm a, let's call me a, I'm a branding expert, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've worked with your mom, you know, I worked with, you know, AARP, and I've worked with McKinsey, consulting McKinsey, and, you know, I've done a lot of, like, these branding initiatives, but that's because when people, when they think of me, they inspiration, you know, I can't tell you how many times when people think of the Fancified brand, they think inspiration, but inspire people to do what? What is it that Fancy is talking about that is inspirational? Well, there are a variety of concepts, but many of it revolve around knowing yourself well enough to know what you can, what from a personal standpoint, knowing yourself well enough to know what you can offer any and everyone. And whether you are an entrepreneur or whether you're going on a job interview, you'll be able to articulate that. And people will not forget. It will stick out in their mind. That's why the example of a few adjectives to describe who you are, maybe that's from a tactical perspective, something that you guys can do, where you can, you know, ask your friends and family, your professors, in five, you know, words, what are the adjectives? What are the five adjectives that you would use to describe me? And from there, you'll start to get an idea about how you're showing up. And if you find that there is, you know, consistency with how you're intending to show up, great. But if not, then you have some work to do. And you can start to figure out different ways of, you know, showcasing who you are and exhibiting behaviors that are more in line with how you've chosen to define yourself. Do you follow my logic?
Yeah. No, that, I think that's so good. And it helped, I it's so funny because I feel like we ended up getting into, even though the idea was to talk about personal branding, but how ingrained it is in personal development and how you kind of can't do one without the other. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's something that I don't even know if I had thought about in that way prior to our conversation. And so I know if I didn't think that way, I'm sure someone else, and y'all can tell me if I'm the only one, it's okay if I am. But I highly doubt, you know, I'm the only one that felt like these were two separate endeavors that I need to go on. And they didn't kind of, they never overlapped. And so I feel like you really brought that home, at least for me. And I'm sure for the rest of us that we have to really think about, get to the root and get to our core. And then, you know, doing some evaluation to see if these things, if what people are, how people are perceiving us aligns with what we want to be perceived, and then kind of move forward. And so, and when you do that, you can then, I'm trying to like recap, we can then create, you know, our, we can then put into our work what it is we want people to understand and see, which then becomes our unique value proposition, which helps us stand out in this crowd, in this saturated social media and academic space, and et cetera.
And another thing I would like to emphasize is that, you know, life is one indivisible whole. I mentioned it earlier in the conversation, but I want to circle back to it because I think that historically, our society has had, you know, personas, for lack of a better description, personas. You had your work persona. So when you're at work, you know, let's say I am a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm at work, I'm a math teacher. You know, but then I come home and then I'm a mom until my husband comes home, and then I'm a wife and a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I go to church and I'm a part of the clergy. And it's just like all these sort of siloed, you know, identities, you know, like when I'm in this space, I show up like this versus that space where I show up like that. And that is exhausting, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
My recommendation and my Fancified philosophy revolves around embracing who you are, wherever you are, and not thinking about it from the perspective of this is who I need to be in this environment, but more so, I am who I am wherever I am. You know, like not to say that, you know, when you go clubbing, you're jumping on, you know, tables and dancing, like that's appropriate, you know, in class, you know, you just jump on
professor's desk.
I'm not saying that, but, you know, fundamentally, as far as who you are from a virtue standpoint, who you are from a you know, from, like your identity is one indivisible whole. And I think that if people can start to embrace that and break down those walls and barriers, you're going to have a lot more opportunity to be consistent in any environment, so that when people are talking about who you are and what you're about, they're going to be able to speak more of the language around who you are that you've basically told them, and how you yourself have articulated who you are, because you're showing up consistently across the board.
Yeah. That's good. That's good, Fancy. That's good. I think that is so important. I know a lot of us, you know, especially, you know, as women and people of color, we feel like we have to be these different versions of ourselves. And it is exhausting. And I think you've just really given us, you know, the inspiration and motivation to just be more congruent in all these spaces. And I am who I am, wherever I am. I love that. I think I'm going to write that down.
Because you know what, Alante? I, you know, again, I'm almost 40 years old, right? Like, It's taken me a long, long time to be okay with being me and not feeling like I need to conform. Like, I encourage people, if you can, follow me on Instagram.
Absolutely.
You know, FANCYFIED. The reason that I call this out is because if you look at like my feed, you know, the way that I present myself, like I am, the reason why people call me Fancy is because I am literally fancy. Like if you were to see me in the street and you didn't know me, you'd be like, oh, you're really fancy. Like it's just one of those things. And although I don't like, you know, necessarily, you know, include fancy as a part of like my brand identity, it's, of course, it's embedded in the name of my company. So Clearly, I guess that goes without saying. But my point is that, like, that is who I am at my core. Like, if you were to come to my house and like, I'm just walking around the house, like, not that I would have a gown on, but what I consider, like, housewear, most people would consider, like, party wear. And I know this is ridiculous, but that's when I said earlier, like, I'm an artist. Like, that is who I am. Like, people that have known me for years will tell you, like, this is who she has been forever. Like, this is just who she is. And by the grace of God, you know, I just had it in me to not compromise, not conform, not allow myself to change on account of other people not necessarily appreciating or enjoying or liking what and how I am, because I don't fit into the kind of the mold. I'm not a you know, I'm not like a standard person in the sense that I'm different. And but that's what I mean by I'm an artist. And I think it's important to adopt some of those artistic practices, because if you're a great artist, you're not trying to emulate anyone else. You're literally being and doing who you are. And the best artists in the world are known for their work because they brought something new to the table. The Picassos, the Jean-Michel Basquiat, these are not people that were just, you know, Picasso introduced Cubism, you know, like it didn't exist. It was a genre of art that just did not exist. And so, like, I really get excited about that. And I guess I hold myself to that standard, which is why I think I've done so much sort of deep analysis and introspection around who I am and how I show up. And I'm hoping that your listeners can get some not only inspiration and motivation, but are able to actualize.
Yeah.
My mission in this world is to help people harness positivity and unity to create new and favorable possibilities. That stems from being the catalyst in your own transformation. It doesn't have to be a bad thing that drives you to change.
Yep.
Ideally, what I want to do is inspire people to change.
I think that you have given us a lot to think about and to really act on. And I, by the way, I was like going through Instagram, like, oh my gosh, she is so fancy. Like literally this picture, like your profile picture is gorgeous. Number one, like this background is so beautiful. But like, yeah, she's, you guys, like her Instagram is popping. Like it's jumping up at pyramids.
I gotta get my numbers
and traveling.
Up. Come on,
yeah. We gotta follow Fancy. But I think that you've just given us so much already, and I am so grateful that my mom, you know, shout out to Lisa girl, my Lisa girl,
the Lisa Club.
Yeah, Lisa Club, for, you know, connecting us, and we were able to, you know, really connect, and you share with my listeners, you know, just how important it is and what success looks like when you are authentic and congruent in all of these spaces. I think that in itself has been such a gift. And so, is there anything else you want to share with us before we get to our last segment?
I guess I would just say that, you know, life is hard. Mm-hmm. Life is hard. It's complicated. You know, it requires a lot of perseverance, a lot of resilience. Yes. And, you know, I wish I could prevent you guys from getting knocked down. I really do wish I could protect you and prevent you from being hurt. However, that's just not a part of the human experience. Suffering mm-hmm. and pain is a part of the human experience. And so what I want to leave you with is it's okay to be, you know, sad. It's okay to be, you know, feel challenged. It's not okay to let that paralyze you. You know, what I want to do is I want to encourage people to remember that adversity can be the opportunity to grow and to develop. You know, I think that if you were mentioning instant gratification and I was talking about a culture of convenience, I think a lot of times we expect, especially with TV and reality shows and social media for that matter, everything looks easy. It looks like, you know, we should have had it yesterday. We should, you know, we should literally be an overnight success.
Right.
But anything that is built to last is requires toiling, requires effort and hard work, and continuously, and this is what my TEDx talk is about, continuously embracing the concept of getting comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, the growth lies in the discomfort. When you start to feel like, oh, this is uncharted territory, that's how you know you're going in the right direction, because this is an opportunity for you to develop on account of being exposed to something new.
Yeah.
So I really want for folks to lean into the uncertainty. You know, there's no such thing as failure in life.
That's
as
right.
long as we grow and as long as we learn. If we learn from whatever quote unquote mistake, then it's not a failure, because it has enabled us to enhance our ability to navigate this game of life. So at LinkedIn, I introduced a program called Fancy Five Fridays. And with Fancy Five Fridays, I developed this framework in which I would invite, you know, people from all different seniority levels, sexual orientation, you know, all different walks of life within the organization to come together for this lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way they could participate in the lunch is that if they would abide by the rules. So no negativity can be spoken was rule number one. And then the framework that I would have them participate in the conversation with was to, one, share something positive, whether it be personal or professional or on both accounts. Then I would have them share a challenge, and with that challenge, the action step that they would take to overcome that challenge. Alante, I leave this with your listeners, because this framework is how you can harness the power of positivity to create new possibilities.
Yeah.
So if you are proactively putting yourself in a positive mindset, you're thinking about what you have to be grateful for, what inspires you, then when you address the challenge, the perspective of the challenge being a hindrance or something that's preventing you from being great, as the kids say, is no longer, it loses its weight, because you start to see the challenge as an opportunity to grow and to develop and to evolve. And then to ensure that we're working through the challenge by harnessing positivity, what are you going to actually do about it? What am I going to do to overcome this challenge? I live my life by that framework and philosophy, and I resigned from LinkedIn. My last day was Monday, April 1st. Yeah, so I just left LinkedIn, and we're going to see if Fancy Five can really get it popping and apply this philosophy and achieve my mission of achieve my vision of scaling empowerment globally. But that is the framework that I use to live my life. So, you know, give it a go.
Yeah, I love it. So, y'all, let's get fancified. Let's embrace fancified Fridays and really just looking at things, like you said, positively, and that there is no failure, which really ties in so great with the episode we had a couple weeks ago called My Success is Inevitable, which I interviewed an MFA student, and he talked about really him falling in love with the process of growing and learning. Yeah. And I think that that's something that you kind of are touching on as well. And so, you know, alignment, we need to hear this again, obviously, to just kind of reinforce that idea of that there is no failure, and that we will all be successful. We're all going to win. And, you know, that's just an amazing way to like end the bulk of our conversation. Fancy. That was great.
Yeah. I'm really, really happy that it was, I hope, an insightful conversation, maybe even enlightening conversation. But I really also want to remind you guys too, is unity, man. Everybody can win. And this is why the unique value proposition is so key to embrace that philosophy, because then you don't feel jealous or envious of somebody on social media because they're doing this and that, because you know that that's for them. You know, what's for you is for you. Mm-hmm. So own it and don't leave this world without contributing what only you can contribute. And that's Fancy Five Certified.
That's right. That's right. Love it. So I'm so excited. I am so excited to hear your lesson from the trap. I cannot wait to hear this.
So I'm like a huge, I'm from New York. So, you know, I guess I can't help it. It's like a locational, a locational hazard, right? You just being from New York, you got to love Jay-Z. But I love Jay-Z. I mean, like, I think that just on so many, like he, in one of his songs, he talks about like leading in several statistical categories, and he's absolutely right. From like being, you know, arguably one of the best, if not the best lyricist ever. And also just like on a business front, like I just, and what he's doing for the Black community, I mean, really contributing and driving social change. Yeah. And I really admire all these things about him. But the song that I've really been into lately is a song called Ain't I? And it's not a song that you probably have heard. I guess, I don't know if it was like on a mixtape or something like that, but like, please go listen to it. It's a Timbaland produced track.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, man, like the track is off the chain, but the lyrics, man, the effing lyrics, like when I listen to it, I just get so fired up. Because there's a part in the song, and I'm looking up the lyrics right now. I want to be very accurate with my quote of the song.
Sure.
So, well, if I can't get the actual lyric, forgive me. But the point I'm making is that this freaking song, when he says, I'm a hustler's hustler, a gangster's gangster. I'm a rapper's rapper. Your favorite, ain't I? So the part in the song that I absolutely am obsessed with is that he says, oh, I'm going to read this exactly.
Uh-huh.
And I'm never, ever going back. Okay. So there's a part in the song where he's basically saying, like, you know, how he was, you know, a drug dealer, which is not something that we support, and we don't destroy our communities. Like, never that. But what he's saying is that that was a part of his story. And, you know, although he was literally in the trap, he was able to evolve. And he not only was able to become a successful rapper, but then started to, you know, monetize on his brand by creating clothing labels and whatnot.
Yeah.
And he's essentially saying that, like, and I'm never, ever going back. Oh, never that. And Alante, he says this like 7 times, and I'm never, ever going back, oh, never that. He just says it over and over and over and over and over again. And I guess that's kind of like the theme song of my life right now, because, you know, on a personal level, like I've got a lot of transition. Like I'm relocating to Oakland from, you know, relocating to the Bay from New York. I've grown up in New York. I've lived here virtually all my life. I'm leaving LinkedIn, which is like one of the best companies in the world to work for, a super prestigious brand. I'm, you know, uprooting my entire life, and I'm moving forward. And again, in the vein of getting comfortable being uncomfortable, I'm doing this myself. Like, I am the one who's driving this change.
Yeah.
And I'm in the midst of becoming the Oprah of tech. But literally, like, I'm moving to the Bay because I'm going to work with an organization called Next Play Events. And it's a diversity recruitment firm that is, you know, helping to diversify the tech workforce by providing companies with access to top Black and Latino talent.
Right.
So how I intend on contributing to driving diversity and inclusion within the industry is, as a part of this organization's recruiting events, what they do is they have, like, they orchestrate events that are culturally, they're cultural events where they'll have, like, you know, dancing and poetry and really, like, what's indicative of the culture. But also they'll have conversations, fireside chats with tech leaders and thought leaders and luminaries. And I will be the one, you know, moderating these discussions. So if any of y'all are in Oakland, May 3rd, I'll be speaking to the CEO of Slack, which is the messaging. The corporate communication messaging platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's a $7 billion company. $7 billion company. Yeah. And I'm going to be interviewing their CEO. We might stream it. So please, you know, tune in if you can. But my point is that within this song, and I'm never, ever going back. I'm never that. Like, I'm never going to go, you know, I'm never going to come back to New York, like, who I was when I left.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never go back to that. And, like, my relationship with LinkedIn, I love LinkedIn. It's a phenomenal organization, but I'll never go back to LinkedIn. I will not. I will never go back to, you know, being a, I don't know, like, I guess where I'm going with this is that I think in life, you know, we sort of romanticize the past. Oh, if I did this, oh, if I did that, you know, I could have become this, or I could have married that person and all that stuff. But the reality is that we can't go back. All we can do is go forward. So if we're going to look back, let us learn from the past, not just romanticize and make it what we thought it should have been, because we have a tendency to, like, change what really happened to create this fantasy of what happened, but that's not the reality. So the notion of, and I'm never, ever going back, speaks to my heart, because it's like, I'm never going to devolve. You know, I'm going to challenge myself.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Black and in Grad School. For more content to help you on your grad school journey, check out blackingradschool.com. That's blkingradschool.com. Love this episode? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Until next time.
It's really about moving forward. And so I love that. Thank you so much, Fancy. And you've already shared it, but tell us again where we can find you on the internet.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Lisa, L-I-S-A. Francoeur, to all my Haitian people, FRANCOEUR -Mesa, MESA. So Lisa Francoeur Mesa is the government, as they say.
Yeah.
And Fancyfied, FANCYFIED.
Yes.
I own all of the social media channels associated with Fancyfied. And I hope that we can keep the conversation going. I hope that we can continue to support one another, to uplift, empower, inspire, and unite.
Yes.
I am of the mindset that I want to help you realize your dreams. So to all the doers and to all the sayers and the doers out there, come check me, come join this movement, and let's get it popping.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing all of this insight and giving us a lot to just chew on and think about as we're moving forward in our studies and thinking about even life afterwards, Lisa. Thank you.
Thank you, Alanche. I feel very honored that I have the privilege to speak with you. I love your mother, like, cook food. Yeah. I will, like, do anything for your mom. She's incredible. I feel like I'm part of the family, too, now.
You are.
So I'll be seeing you at the BBQs this summer.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Blacken in Grad School. For more content to help you on your grad school journey, check out blackengradschool.com. That's blackingradschool.com. Love this episode? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Until next time.